Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Way Back When podcast. You are joined by me, Maria, and Hannah.
Yay!
Yeah. Thank you for watching last week's episode. It was a bit of a strange one because it was my episode and it was a bit unplanned and it was 3 a.m. But
shh, don't say that. We need to pretend we're really professional.
Yeah, it's okay. FYI, my camera and my Hannah is in 2 different places, so I will be looking down for the majority of the video. But aside from all that, Hannah, would you like to talk about what we're gonna do today?
Yes. Okay, so today I'm very excited because we're talking about corsets. Yay! So this is like really special piece of bit of history for me because like it's the whole reason, like one of the reasons why I'm like studying what I'm studying today.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen previous episodes, go watch them. But I am a costume design student and I'm like really in particular I'm really interested in like dress history,
mm-hmm.
like history of fashion, yeah. and stuff, which is why I got into costume probably. But yeah, so we're talking about corsets today. I will say now at the beginning of the episode, if you are listening on Spotify, Apple Podcast, I do recommend checking out the YouTube video for this episode because mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of visuals
yeah.
in this episode that sort of like go along with what I'm talking about. But it's definitely not necessary. But if you want to like sort of like see visually what it is I'm yapping on about, then go and check out the YouTube. If you're already on YouTube, hi, you can yeah. see me. But I'm so excited for this episode.
I'm very excited. I've seen a sneak peek of the first thing we're talking about and I'm very excited.
Yeah. Leah, I set up Maria a little slideshow so that she can yeah. see pictures of what we're talking about Yay. As we go through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, shall we get started?
Yeah, I'm quickly going to mention socials just because I forgot to say it.
Yes, socials.
If you're watching on YouTube, it is everything down below. If you're not, go to our link tree, but we're basically the Way Back When podcast everywhere. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amazing. So, before we get into the long and complex history of the corset,
yes.
We're just going to go over a little bit of like what is a corset, like what the hell is it,
mm-hmm.
and I will say now there's no straight answer to that question because corsets have had such a long and complicated history
mm-hmm.
that people class different things as corsets,
okay.
because it could be like a bodice that is technically a corset but also technically just a bodice, like it's all a little bit like messy,
yeah,
but for the most part, I'll be taking you through and I'll be like mentioning specific types of garments that are in some way classed as a corset
mm-hmm.
or like were key in the development of the modern day corset. So here we go. So attitudes with corsets have moved with the times. I will say now my notes are like down here, so I'll be looking down here a lot because you know what I'm like. I like my reading my notes.
Yeah.
So, while being fashionable to some degree today, there is the misconception that wearing a corset today sets feminism back hundreds of years.
Yes.
That's going to be the big stickler for this episode. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you take one thing away from this episode, it's that corsets have not been forced upon women.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm saying that now. They have not. So, get that idea out your head. I will convince you why that's not the case. But just remember, women have not been forced to wear corsets.
No.
And I love a good corset. I was going to wear one for this episode, but I could not find it. I have made 2 corsets in my time, and they are both very comfortable. So, yeah. I'm just going to point that out now. I would wear it. I have no idea where it is, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's videos on my TikTok if you scroll back on me wearing it, yes. if you really want to see it. So the concept of, like, body shaping, which is the purpose of a corset, has been around for centuries, as we will see. And there was a time where men wore corsets. Like, Yeah, so that sort of negates like the majority of the arguments against them is the fact that there was a time in history where men and women were both wearing them. Okay. So yeah, we're going to be talking about the history, where they come from, how they developed, the common misconceptions, and like how they are like still worn today, and how they are like depicted in modern media, which will be the true like raging part of this episode, because I have some things to say. Mm-hmm. I've been putting my finger up a lot already. I have some shit I need to say about corsets. Anyway, so this is what Maria's most excited about. We're going to get into the history. And the earliest depiction of the corset as we know it today, it dates back to the Minoan civilizations. So we have this figurine of a snake goddess, and she appears to be wearing this corset-like garment, which is really exciting. Because obviously this is like this dates back to like as early as the Bronze Age, like 1000 BC. Like these are like really odd, and it's so exciting. And this like figurine that we still have today, there'll be a picture of it on the screen. I know Maria's looking at it at the moment, is absolutely gorgeous. Okay. And so much of what this figure is wearing is so just like related to like fashion that's like 100 years away from this point in history. And the first known corset was made of linen and wool and was found in a tomb in Crete, which is, like, amazing. Like, I'm getting excited just thinking about it. And it was likely used for, like, ceremonial purposes as opposed to, like, everyday wear, as, like, the corset would be used, like, in a few hundred years. But something I was thinking about as I was writing the notes for this episode is we need to detach our like modern understanding of the garment from this like depiction in particular, because we don't know what it was used for, we don't know why they wore it, we don't know how they wore it. As I said, the only thing we have is this very very old corset and this figurine wearing something that looks like a corset. So like we don't know if it was worn under clothes, if it was worn on top of clothes, like we really don't know. So we sort of have to detach basically any knowledge you have about a modern corset from it, because it's not the same thing, if that makes sense. And there are also depictions of corsets in Egyptian pottery of women wearing them. I searched for these images. If I find them in the like post like editing stage of this episode, I'll put some pictures up, but I couldn't find them when I was preparing for this episode. But apparently they exist. So obviously we've got the Minoans and now the Egyptians as well were wearing some kind of corset-like garment. But again, just to reiterate, not in the same way that they are worn a few centuries later and like, in like Europe.
Minoans are like, that's like 12,000 BC. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, so I was really excited when I found it, like, during my research. Because, like, I've done a lot of research into corsets, but never, like, sort of delved into anything, like, this early. I sort of, like, did that for the purpose of this episode of, like, finding a good starting point. So, moving on. So, there's loads of instances in world history with, like, these corset-type garments being worn. But we're going to go forward a bit more into British and European history, because this is where we have the more solid like foundations of like knowledge about body shaping and corsetry. So we're really going quite far ahead to the 1300s, where we have these more concrete depictions of body shaping and the idea of using clothing to manipulate the figure to be fashionable. So this comes in the form of shaped bodice with naturally loose robes being drawn together and laced up to mold to the shape of the wearer's body. So this is like very typically medieval clothing. We'll have some images on the screen of what that looks like. But it is important also to remember that specific shaping didn't come until a bit later in the Middle Ages, like medieval period, because a woman's figure was seen to be like it needed to be hidden for religious purposes, because like the figure was very often seen as like sinful, which is why I think we have such a massive gap between these like very very early depictions of corsetry all the way like we've had to like jump forward to like the 1300s, because there was so much like religious stigma around women's bodies, and there still is, but particularly here, which is why we've jumped forward so much. But yeah, this is where we're first starting to see the concept of women's bodies being manipulated to look a certain way, to be fashionable and to have a desired body shape, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is like the earliest we have. This is obviously in the Western world, so this is like in England and Europe. A lot of the research for this episode comes from that time because this is where fashion was at its height, you know, and
yeah,
where corsetry was popular. So moving forward to the 16th century, so the 1500s, this is where we really start to see the corset forming into what its most recognisable shape. So steel bands were being used in bodices to create desired shapes for the wearer, eventually becoming garments known as the French farthingales. These corsets were particularly popular in England during the Elizabethan era and are known today to be one of the most uncomfortable and unnatural garments in the history of fashion. The corset concept was introduced by Catherine de Medici in France in the 1500s. We'll have a picture of her up on the screen as well as a corset from the 16th century. And so in terms of the actual like build of the garment, it consisted of the busk, so a long flat piece of whalebone or wood inserted into the casing of the corset to maintain its rigid form, and that was what began to be employed in the place of boning. And the stomacher was a stiff V-shaped structure worn on the abdomen for ornamental purposes and covered the front of the corset. At the end of the 16th century, ruffles were added to the bottom edge of the stomacher, which became known as the farthingale. So this is where they're starting to get quite like heavily decorated. So they look really pretty. And we've got that idea of them being laced up several times, like in that like crisscross shape at the back of the wearer's body. But in this period, so this is, we're talking like Tudor Elizabethan period, the corset was sort of made up of several pieces, so it's really hard to describe, like especially for audio listeners, exactly like what it was like. But you'd have this bodice piece that was where you were like laced into it, and usually there was a separate piece that covered the front. And you sort of, the way clothes were back then, particularly Tudor, which is one I feel like I know most about in comparison to like the later Elizabethan, is it was made up of lots of different like garments that were sort of pieced and pinned together.
Okay.
Like the sleeves were pinned on, the very front of the bodice was pinned on. It's really interesting. They all look so gorgeous. But this is like the true starting point for what we would view as like the modern day corset. So you have like it being laced up at the back, you have whale bones being used, steel, because clearly they were nuts, being used to keep them quite strong. And as I said, this is like one of the most uncomfortable garments in fashion history. They get better, but don't let that phrase sort of just like make you that, like saying this is the most uncomfortable garment in like history. You have to remember the corset has never been like, it never was stayed one way.
It's like
it has always adapted and changed. Exactly. Yeah, it's exactly like that. It evolves and changes over the years. So moving forward to the 17th century, we have men wearing them. I just want to point that out. Men are wearing corsets at this point, as are the women. So they were mostly made from bones and linen, including reeds and whale bones. Still using the whale bones.
Poor whales.
Which obviously, poor whales. Yeah, not good, but they are using them at this point. And the laces were usually made from hemp or linen thread. And in this period, as I said, both men and women wore corsets. Corsets were sometimes worn with attached sleeves, and the lacing on them became quite ornamental, some women adding ribbons to give a little more flair. And a long pointed busk was in the front of the corset, which would have been laced in the back. So they've sort of got like this V shape at this point, like pointed to the center of the waist, because that is what was popular at the time.
Okay.
Corsets really reflect what sort of styles and shapes were popular in the at that time, because obviously the corset, obviously it's worn under a dress, it influenced everything else about like what the women in particular was wearing.
Okay.
You know, it had an effect on the shapes of the sleeves, the bodice, the skirt, how the skirts fan out, how it sits on the body. They're sort of the core piece of the quote unquote outfit that they'd be wearing.
Okay. Can I ask?
Yes.
So since there's so many components, is this something designated for the wealthier classes at this point, or are other people using it?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So the more ornate, complex gowns, it really comes down to the gown.
Okay.
Because the corset in itself is something quite simple. It's about what you put on top of it and what you add to it.
Right.
That displays the wealth. So there were peasant women wearing some kind of laced corset or laced bodice for their dresses, which is what's so fascinating about it, because I feel like it's very much seen as something very elite. It really isn't. It's literally, it's underwear.
Yeah.
It's literally underwear. You know? Everyone wears underwear. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's literally, it is the early sports bra. And we'll get more into how it is literally that as we go forward a bit. So moving on to the 18th century, think your Regency stories.
Yeah.
Imagine that kind of waistline, because this is where the waistline sort of goes and goes really high to right under the bust during this period. And I know if you've seen Bridgerton, Pride and Prejudice, any of those TV shows, you'll know what I'm talking about, if the very high waistlines and the corsets influence that. So this is where the waistline has been altered by the garment. The corset made the waist appear smaller than the hips and created a desirable figure for the wearer. Corsets of this era were also known as stays. They were generally made from linen, cotton, or wool, and were formed by making several cuts from the lower edge to the waistband. The waistline was rising here, creating a bustier.
Okay.
Which we still wear today.
Yeah.
Women still wear garments like this today. Mm-hmm. This is the first one. This is the earliest one. We'll have a picture on the screen of a 18th century corset. This is my favourite image that I found for this episode. This is from the Victoria and Albert collection. It is a beautiful red. It is just gorgeous.
Pretty.
It's so pretty. Oh my god, I want one. I want one so badly.
Catherine's one or the Minoan one's probably my
yes favorite. Oh, they're all just so gorgeous, and it's such a fascinating history. I love them. I love them so much. And at this stage we also have arm straps in some cases. This is sort of 50-50. I feel at this point they most likely had arm straps, the majority of them. Then again, there would be cases where they didn't. And the corset is very much it is very decorated, especially if you're rich. It's very decorated. It looks pretty, you know. It has ribbons and bows. Sometimes I have embellishments. You can tell how excited I am about this, because this is the most passionate I have been in an episode, because I just absolutely adore corsets. I can't stop looking at it. I've got it on my laptop here. I just can't stop looking at it. It's so gorgeous. But anyway, moving on from the 18th century to the 19th century, which I have labelled the golden age of corsets, because this is where the Victorians get their hands on them.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to say shit hits the fan here.
Oh no.
Because, I mean, corsets are just sort of just all over the place during this period. Mm. They're loved and hated. No one can really make up their minds about them. So yeah, this is a very weird time for the corsets, probably the most controversial time for the corsets.
Okay.
And we're going to get into why now. So by the mid 19th century, the corset had primarily evolved into a breast support system,
a bra.
By this point, it is definitely a bra. It has always been a bra, but this point it is definitely a bra. and the waste was brought to just below the bus line. The waistline has like returned to its natural position in the 1930s. So we've had it like go really up high, like in Bridgerton. Yeah. It's now returned like to sort of its natural position by the 1830s. And its purpose was to support the breasts and waist. Because you have to remember, like, a lot of these dresses that people were wearing were so heavy.
Yeah.
Like, especially the elite and upper class, there were so many layers. Skirts were huge. Mm. Like, particularly, like, in the Georgian period and stuff, they were absolutely massive. So they needed something to distribute the weight whilst also supporting the breast. And that is exactly what a corset did.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's so cool. It's so fascinating. I love them. So this is where we sort of get the arrival of the very popular, still popular to this day, hourglass figure. So, I mean, I feel like everyone knows what an hourglass looks like. It goes out, it goes in, and then it goes back out.
Yeah.
Basically, that was an excellent example, well done, of an hourglass. Yeah. So they were boned with whalebone, steel, or reed, and the lacing was used to tighten the corset. The front of the corset was flat and the back was curved. Corsets often were decorated with frills, lace, and bows, and they no longer had straps. So they sat just above the bust.
Are we still using whales?
Yeah, they're still using whales. They don't really stop using whales until, like, the early 20th century, really.
Mm.
Which is obviously not good at all. So a French man named Jean Vrely, I can't really pronounce stuff very well, but I tried, created a loom-made corset for ladies in 1939. This style remained quite popular until 1890, when machine-made corsets became more fashionable and popular. All previous types of corsets were handcrafted and usually at home. So this is where we start seeing, with like the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, I mean, everything is industrialized, including clothes. So corsets, they're no longer, like, usually you'd have, like, one or two corsets that, like, was handmade. If you're rich, by a seamstress, or if you were poorer, then, like, you might make it yourself. But now, with the introduction of the sewing machine, my best friend and worst enemy, we have them being just, like, churned out more and advertised more. So this is where we get, like, so much information about corsets. Now, we are going to move on to the Edwardian period, but we will be coming back to the Victorian period a little bit later when we talk about some of the common misconceptions about period, because there was a lot of drama during this time. Jesus, that was... She was stirring shit up at this point. But anyway, we're getting to sort of the end of, like, the era of, like, the old-fashioned corset. So you've got the Edwardian corset, which is sort of around, like, 1900 to 1915. And so the early 20th century returned to a more natural look with a low, narrow waistline. The corset was designed to support the bust and create a slim silhouette. The corset was less constricting than its predecessor, and a more natural look replaced the hourglass silhouette. The corset was often decorated with frills, lace, and bows. So they still look pretty, but they've gotten a lot simpler, and they look more natural now. They're not as like stiff as previous ones, and yeah, they've toned things down a bit.
Yeah,
which is a shame because they were really pretty before.
They were.
But yeah, and finally, sort of just immediately after this, we have our final sort of like evolution of the corset. We have the flapper corset, which I wanted to touch on briefly, between 1920 and 1930. So this is where they, like, corsets experienced their most drastic change in history. Up until now, they've been used to, like, basically create an hourglass figure or one, like, similar to it. But by this point, they are making women look more, like, rectangular and straight. Like, if you think about the flapper dresses, they have that, like, very boxy look. And the corset was once again used to support that look. And so if you were, like, quite a curvy woman in the 1920s, the undergarment was used to achieve the new straight line look. And this look was achieved by stiffening the bodice with boning and lacing it tightly. So that is, like, quite a bit of the history.
Yeah.
Jesus. And then obviously we have, like, if we bring it up to like sort of modern day, honestly, whenever I think of corsets in the modern day, I think of TikTok, because like you just see people like wearing them like all the time. I love a good corset. I love a good corset on a night out, I have to say. But obviously today, there's different ways of making them. When I have made them, I have used like plastic boning in them to create the bone, like the stiffness for it, and sort of just like ribbon lacing. It varies. Obviously, you don't really get whalebone or steel corsets anymore. It's usually like a plastic or something similar to create that stiffness. But yeah, so that's a little bit about the history. That's how we've gotten to today. What do you think? It's a bit crazy, isn't it?
It's great. I feel so sorry for all of these whales. And like, I'm kind of curious about how the layout, obviously I can see it, but the whale bones are inside the layers.
Yes. So it depends on the specific like type of corset, but typically the boning would be vertical lines.
Oh, okay. So I was picturing
on it. So yeah,
horizontal.
Like horizontal. No, they'll be vertical, because when you think about it, the corset is creating lines in the body, is the best way to describe it. Like if you look at some of the if we look briefly at the 18th century corset, can you see like it has the lines pointing to the center of the waist band? So the boning would have like assisted with this, and it also, it makes it more rigid as well. It's what makes the garment like stiff in order to support the breasts. So you have to remember, like, they didn't have elastic back then. Like with modern bras, we have elastic to like make it stiff and make like our boobs stay in place. Whereas obviously they didn't have that back then, so that is what like the boning would have been used for.
Okay, so it's like you pull at the middle, you pull at it, and then it.
Yeah, so when you would lace it, so this is sort of like the same as like with a modern corset. Very often it will come as like a flat garment, and then you sort of, you wrap it around your body, hold it at the chest in the center, and then when you lace it, so then you pull the laces backwards, it sort of, it brings the two sides of the corset together.
Okay.
And it makes it very like versatile in terms of like the wearer. So in terms of sizing, you'll like usually have like a particular size, but like it means there's like a little bit of like give in it, a little bit of shift in it,
right,
in terms of like fitting into it, because it all depended on how you tightened it. There's a correct way to tighten it, and it is not going and sucking in until it's really tight. That's not how you wear a corset. The biggest thing about corsets is, if you're wearing a corset and it hurts, you're wearing it wrong.
Okay, that's a good piece of information.
So, yeah. So, this is my direct call out to Bridgerton and the actresses on Bridgerton. We're going to get serious for a sec here. If you're saying in interviews that your corsets are too tight and too uncomfortable, go to your costume supervisor and say you're not wearing it properly. Because if you wear it properly, then it's not uncomfortable.
Yeah. Do you think that they're making it as tight as they can for the boobage?
They don't need to for the boobage. So that's why it baffles me when I see that's this in interviews. Because I'm like, okay, this almost feels like this feels very unprofessional. You know, like, it should, you don't need that for boob, like you don't need to over tighten it for boobage. If a corset is made and worn correctly, you get, especially if like you're doing like, I don't know exactly what corsets they're wearing on Bridgerton. It should be something similar to the 18th century corset, because that's when it's set. As we know, Bridgerton costumes aren't accurate in any way whatsoever, which is fine. You know, I love the costumes in Bridgerton, but if it's too uncomfortable, obviously, it's not the actress's fault, it's whoever's dressing them. I don't even want to say it's anyone's fault. I just feel like it's, like, miseducation. But if it's uncomfortable and you can't breathe, you are wearing it wrong.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know who it was on Graham Norton, them talking about their organs moved because they wore their corset for so long. And I'm like, how tight are they putting that corset on you? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not correct. Now, there are cases of organs moving in the corset history, which we will get to. But they weren't meant to do that. They're not meant to do that. They're meant to be comfortable. I can literally, like, I kid you not, I can, like, lie in bed scrolling on TikTok wearing a corset.
Okay.
Because I have made it correctly. I was 17 when I made it, so it's not my best, neatest sewing. But I made it correctly. I used the right amount of boning. I laced it correctly, not too tight. So it fits, and it's comfortable, and it holds my boobs, and it means I can go out on a night out without wearing a bra. Yeah, you know?
It's great.
They're great. I love them. I'm going to make you one day. You'll love it. I'll make you an orange one. I've got a purple one. I'll make you an orange one.
It's my mum's, though, from, like, the 80s, the 90s.
Oh, my God. My mum had so many in the 90s. They were big in the 90s.
I don't, like, whenever I watch, like, shows from the 80s and 90s, I don't often see corsets, but I feel like now our fashion's kind of repeating, obviously, but I do see a lot of, like, corsets and jeans.
I love the corset and jeans look, I can't lie.
Yeah, it's definitely,
I'm a sucker for the corsets and jeans look.
It looks cute. I feel like, my brain just doesn't, corset and denim, it just, like, something goes wrong in my brain.
There's a video, if you scroll far enough on my TikTok, there is a video of me wearing corset and cargo jeans. Because I wore it to, like, the Taylor Swift movie thing.
Oh.
It looked cute as hell.
To the Taylor Swift concert. I was like, no, you didn't.
And I feel like this has led us perfectly into the section that I have entitled, Right, the Myths. So this is my longest section in my notes because there's a lot to cover.
Okay.
So, let's start with the first one. Women were not forced by men to wear corsets at any point in history. They are early forms of bras. Okay? Think, like, I just want everyone to, like, if you come away from this podcast with one thing, women have not been forced to wear them by men. They aren't, like, this sort of, like, misogyny, like, sexist thing. That's not what they are. That they never have been that. Honestly, I feel like they're almost like history's punching bag, if you know what I mean. It's like, let's be angry about something. Let's be angry about corsets, even though they're great, you know. We weren't forced to wear them, guys. You know, because obviously there's deep-rooted misogyny in history, but do you really think women could have been forced to wear something for that many years?
I'm sure there are, like, multiple cases of individual women being forced to wear corsets in their household.
Yeah.
But, like, as a society, it's not, like, something being enforced.
Yeah. It's a bra. Like, technically, women aren't forced to wear bras today.
No.
And some don't. Obviously, some don't. But many do, you know? Even if they're, like, I mean, I find bras quite uncomfortable, but I still wear them, you know? Because the majority of women's modern clothes are made to be worn with a bra, you know? And we even we have dresses with, like, bra cups in and stuff. You know, once again, like, women's clothes, as they were hundreds of years ago, are built around the chest, you know? And there's nothing, like, provocative necessarily or necessarily sexy about that. It's just that is how a woman's weight is distributed.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I think, is really interesting. And I also put here, think about dresses and shirts and trousers and how they have, like, changed over the years. Like, if you compare a pair of trousers in, like, early Victorian England to a pair of Levi's today, like, they're both still trousers, But they've changed and adapted and moved with the times as new materials have become available, as new methods of production have become available. And bras have done exactly the same. Like, if you think about, like, the famous, like, Marilyn Monroe, like, pointed bra, obviously women don't wear those today because, like, styles and materials and processes have changed. But, like, it's still what we wear today and what Marilyn Monroe wore. They're both still bras.
Yeah.
Yes, they could be uncomfortable, but aren't modern bras a bit uncomfortable too sometimes? I just wanted to point that out as well. I'm very staunchly defending the corset because I just, I love it. Okay, so tight lacing, which is where I think the majority of the misconceptions come from. So we're going to get very specific here about, because there is a specific practice in corset wearing called tight lacing, and it doesn't just mean like, oh, you've like laced the corset a bit too tight. It means like it's a very specific process, and we're gonna get like into that now. So yes, there's a practice called tight lacing, and this is the process of over tightening a corset, one that has usually been specifically made for this to be done. So of course, this is in like the Victorian period. Of course, it will be specifically made to be tight laced, and it's a very slow process of slimming someone's waist,
right?
So making it smaller. So it's like, it wasn't just like, oh, they get like a too small corset and like tighten it really small once. Like, women did this to slim their bodies down.
Okay.
And there's a lot of arguments here about this. Was it safe? No. Not at all. Like, they were, like, forcibly manipulating their bodies to be smaller, to fit a desired shape.
Yeah.
And, but with that, I do want to say, this idea of doing something unhealthy to change what your body looks like isn't exactly something that is just a thing of the past, because you could argue that people have very unhealthy methods of achieving a certain body type, like, today, you know. Like, that idea hasn't gone away. It's just sort of, this was the Victorian equivalent of having a unhealthy methods of changing what you look like. And you have to remember, like, back then Victorian women couldn't just go hit up the gym or change their diet or and like exercise more to achieve a certain body type. Like, this was their method of doing it.
And
there's two ways you can approach that. There's the tight lacing was a method of changing their body, but there's also not tight lacing, so just wearing a corset to get like that hourglass figure. Like, women today will wear shapewear to do that, but they'll also go to the gym, work out, exercise, wear certain clothes. And women of the past didn't have that luxury. Women couldn't go outside and exercise because they weren't allowed, because, you know, they didn't have any rights. And so that was their way of presenting themselves to the world in the way they wanted to, by wearing something like a corset, you know, so they could stay up to date with the trends and the fashions. And obviously there's an issue when it's unhealthy and it is potentially damaging to your body, but honestly, fair play to them, you know.
I mean, this happens with everything. It's like Ozempic and like 5 minute fitness stuff. It's just, we find new ways to achieve what we want.
And yes there were instances where it was very unhealthy. Tight lacing was not good.
Absolutely.
But you can't just pinpoint that and say that that was the case for every woman who wore a corset, because it really wasn't. It was a small number of people who wore corsets. Like, they had corsets specifically made to do this process, you know? So that's sort of like, we need to highlight that this happened, but it can't be used to describe all the entire history of corsets.
No, of course not.
You know? Like, the Minoans, if they were wearing corsets, they weren't, like, tight lacing, were they, you know?
Minoan female dresses, like, they have their boobs out. They don't care.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know if I'm, like, even saying this, like, properly or very, like, concise. Obviously not concisely, because I'm rambling. But You can't take this one scenario and apply it to the entirety of the history of the corset because
it's just like it's a timeline, and at one point in the timeline it was abused, but it doesn't reflect on
And this practice was popular for like less than 100 years.
Yeah.
As well. Like this idea of like over tightening. It like the majority of the corset's lifetime, it's been worn properly.
Mm.
You know? And sort of like leading on from that, we are still in the Victorian era. I told you we'd be coming back here. And we have, I've just labelled it Victorian era hysteria propaganda from men.
Amazing.
So there's that famous argument that we talked about earlier, and sort of like, oh, what's the word? Discredited earlier, that men forced women to wear corsets. This is even more evidence that that's not true, because at this point in history, men are like, no, women shouldn't be wearing them. It makes them hysteric.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Now, I learned this, what I'm about to talk about, in an episode of Betwixt the Sheets with Kate Lister, which is like my favorite podcast ever. And it's in their episode about corsets. Now, this is going to shock you. I don't think you know anything about this, but I know this is going to shock you.
Oh, okay.
So we have this propaganda released by men that it makes them hysterical and they shouldn't be wearing them. We also have medical journals released by doctors claiming corsets were bad for women's health to discourage them from wearing them. It was said to be silly and that women cared more about what they wore instead of focusing on being good wives and having children. Doctors were releasing false information saying they're unhealthy because, oh, silly little women, stop caring about what you're wearing so much. You should be focusing on being a good mother and a good wife. Literally, it's fake. There was a whole article, I think, in like a medical journal about like a rib being removed or something. And the press took it as like it was a woman who was doing it to like slim down and like wear a corset. It wasn't even a woman who went through the procedure, it was a man.
No.
And the doctor had to come out and say that. Like, the Victorians really took this shit and ran with it.
They're very, you know, as a group.
It's insane. They're insane.
Kind of. Like, if we're most similar to any point of society, I would argue we're most similar to Victorians.
Victorians were just mental.
Like, it's all that lead.
It was just crazy. Yeah.
Other things.
But literally, there is confirmed, like, doctors releasing false information in medical journals to discourage women from wearing corsets.
That's crazy.
Which is wild. Which is why you can't say that men force women to wear them. Because men were trying to force them not to wear them.
Would you question, this is a bit of an aside, would you say that one could argue that up until maybe this point, it was expected societally by women to wear corsets, so...
Yeah, I think so, because I think it's also, you could argue that today it's expected by women to wear a bra.
Okay, but would you, you know, one could make the argument also that maybe that is the patriarchy feeding into.
Yes, and that's because I think the patriarchy feeds into everything. Because, like, let's be real, I think it's the patriarchy is the reason why women literally cannot, I mean, women, like, it's frowned upon to breastfeed in public, like...
Yeah.
Breasts have become something that is so sexualized.
It's crazy.
Oh, and there's nothing sexual about them.
No.
And the only reason you said the word is because of the patriarchy. And I mean, corsets as well have sort of like had received the same treatment. Like, corsets definitely have a reputation of being something quite sexy today. Yeah. And I mean, like, worn in like burlesque and stuff, they're sort of like become very sexy garment. And then on the flip side, there's also like this cutesy like TikTok aesthetic corset, which is obviously like very, very new. Now, I don't want to big up TikTok too much, But I feel like TikTok has, like, we've talked about, like, all these periods of the corset from, like, the Minoans to the 1300s, 17th, 18th century. I feel like we're now, like, in another wave of corsets, like, of corset history through TikTok. I feel like they've become a lot more popular with younger people. I think just before this, I think they were something quite adult and quite, like, taboo. Yeah. And, like, with TikTok and, like, that, like, House of Holbein trend that was, like, I think it was, like, 2020 it was popular, where they were technically over-tightening their corsets. I feel like they became, like, more, like, normalized again. Like, it's sort of, like, been another wave of, like, corset history. And which is interesting, and it just proves, you know, like, history always repeats itself, even in fashion. So... moving on, well, we're not moving on that far, but we're moving away from the Victorians to modern media and corsets.
Here we go.
Now, I said at the beginning of the episode that this is the point where I get ragey, but I feel like I've already been ragey in this episode.
A little bit.
Now, this section of my notes is all written in capital letters. Because I was even angry writing it out.
Oh no.
I'm just gonna read what I wrote.
I'm just gonna sit back and listen.
Ready? So many films where women's being laced into a corset too tightly, they weren't wearing them properly. And the biggest one is, why would women wear something uncomfortable for hundreds of years?
Thousands.
I feel like that's the most obvious. Thousands of years. Why, if this garment is so terrible and so uncomfortable, why didn't women come up with something better earlier? You know? Why would we stick around? Why would it have this such long history? Why would it develop in the way it did if it was that uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. And why, in every period film, is there a scene where a corset is being laced too tightly? Like, Titanic, there's a scene.
Yeah.
And it's completely irrelevant that, like, her mum is, like, tightening it too much. Like, because, especially as this is, like, an Edwardian corset.
Yeah.
So that really wouldn't have happened. Like, tight lacing was a thing of the past by this point in 1912. And there's that famous scene in the first Pirates of the Caribbean film where... I know you said Elizabeth Bennet, Elizabeth Swan. It's like, do women in London find it hard to breathe? No, because they're wearing their corsets properly. You clearly are not if you're fainting and falling into the ocean because of a corset.
Oh my god, I haven't seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
What, you haven't seen it at all? Oh, saw it out. Great film. Other than that one scene, great film.
Little Women, where Laurie laces her, the back of something comes undone and they lace it up. But I feel like...
Which one?
Little Women with Amy and Laurie.
No, but which Little Women?
The new one.
I don't remember it.
I'll put it on TikTok still somewhere.
Yeah. But honestly, any period film has got an example of it.
Yeah.
Of, like, a corset being laced, like, too tight. You know, even in, like, non-historic, like, period pieces, there's a scene in the film Mirror Mirror where the evil queen is, like, being cinched into a dress and Julia it's being Roberts. Over-tightened. Yeah, we love our queen, Julia Roberts. And it's being laced too tightly because this idea of tight lacing has just completely, like, taken over this any other part of this garment's history. So, sort of to bring together everything we've been talking about so far, I want to touch on a modern example of, I think the only way I can describe it is how these misconceptions about corsets have just run wild and have, like, influenced the way costuming works in modern cinema. Now, I wrote an essay on this in college. I got a distinction for this. So I'd like to think I know what I'm talking about. And this was headline news. not just in normal news, in my news world, in the costume world, this was headline news. So yeah. You may know what I'm talking about already. Maria, I know you do. We're talking about the 2017 live adaptation of Beauty and the Beast.
Dum dum dum.
So, unless you've been living under a rock, then you would have seen that over the last decade or so, Disney have been remaking a lot of their classic animated films in live action. And one of the films to receive this treatment was Beauty and the Beast. Now, Beauty and the Beast is one of my favourite films. So, yes. It's probably my second favourite Disney film after Little Mermaid. That's not relevant, but I just wanted to point out I love it. So I was very excited about this film. And I, admittedly, when I first saw it, I didn't care about what we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
However, after pursuing the career that I am now pursuing, I have come to care about it a lot.
Yes.
Now, if you're sort of familiar, sort of even just with like the film industry world, just like the film world, you probably would have seen the massive news coming out like before the film about how Emma Watson was not going to wear a corset for the film. Just straight up was not going to wear any corset whatsoever. Now there's several issues with this. And it's a really difficult argument. Because I want to preface this by saying, if an actress isn't comfortable wearing something, she should in no way be forced to wear it. No. You know?
Yeah.
And I want to get that out of the way on the get-go. Like, there are rules in the theatre and film industries for a reason. Like, if an actress is severely uncomfortable, she should not be forced to wear something.
No.
However, the reason behind Emma Watson not wearing a corset, I think very much comes from misinformation and a severe misjudgment and a lack of knowledge about what a corset actually is, and not knowing all of the things we've talked about today about how basically great corsets are.
Yeah.
You know?
They're great.
And this had such a huge negative impact on the film. Like, massively. Because even though Emma Watson wasn't wearing a corset, it doesn't mean no one else was. Because everyone else was wearing them.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating. Because as we talked about earlier, the corset is like, it's like the central part of the outfit. You know, it affects how the dress is, how like the rest of the like clothes sit on the body. It affects how they look, like how they're styled, you know. It is the core. It's at the center of the outfit. Take that center away and basically everything just flops and looks shit. Yeah. Is what I basically want to say. And if we look at like the beginning of Beauty and the Beast, some of in like the opening ballroom scene, I'll put up some pictures, but if you've seen the film you'll know what I mean. There are women wearing the most gorgeous costumes. Like, oh my god. They are so historically accurate. All wearing corsets, all worn properly. I am pretty much convinced that the corsets were being worn properly, so they were most likely quite comfortable. Like, and they look absolutely stunning. And so when you see that in like the opening scene of the film, it sets the precedent for the film and like what the costume is going to be like. And then all of a sudden you switch to the protagonist, who should have the most striking and memorable costumes. And you're just like, huh? What is she wearing? Because despite not wearing a corset, they still dressed Emma Watson in dresses that need a corset, if that makes sense. So it doesn't make sense. So like all of her costumes just look terrible.
Like, yeah, the white dress with the orange flowers. Like, I look at it and I'm like, that's a really pretty dress, but it does feel like something's missing.
Yeah. And so there's that dress from the end of the film, which you pointed out, and obviously the famous yellow dress, which is not meant to be yellow, it's meant to be golden, but okay, admittedly that is nitpicking, but it looks like a 2017 prom dress. Do you know what I mean? Like, It doesn't look like a... It's ambiguous about exactly when the film is set.
Yeah.
But it looks nothing like a dress from that period. And no. Sure, you can take creative liberties with these things. Like, look at Bridgerton. Bridgerton, not historically accurate whatsoever. Mm. The costumes, however, slap. They look awesome.
They're lovely.
Because none of them are historically accurate. However, if everyone's historically accurate except for one person, they will stick out like a sore thumb and it'll look terrible.
Yeah.
Which is what happened.
That's how I feel when Roman women have their hair down in films. I'm like, girl, put your shawl on.
Yeah. And I think it's such a massive shame because Emma Watson went on like sort of like crusade, like, oh, she's like practical, like she can't wear a corset, it'll get in the way. I'm sorry, working women back then wore corsets. So their boobs weren't like all over the place when they were trying to work, you know? Mm. You're basically going braless when you're running around a castle, you know? I wouldn't want to run around a castle braless.
No.
You know?
That'd be fun.
And it wouldn't be fun. I'd be holding them the whole way. But
it'd be fun for me.
It's just, it makes no sense to me. Like, the dresses are designed to be worn with a corset. Mm. Why is she not wearing one? It just, it's such a shame. Mm. Because if, like, she'd been properly informed, which she very clearly wasn't about the history of corsets, as we know, like, Emma Watson is a staunch feminist, and I very much respect all of the work she does, like, He for She and everything. Mm-hmm. I have, like, utmost respect for it. However, like, she was... technically, when you think about it, she was influenced by those doctors and men in the Victorian era releasing propaganda about them making women hysterical, about them being terrible for their health. And it's just like, no.
Yeah.
You know?
She fell for it. She like, fell for the misinformation.
She fell for it. And I feel like majority of people have. And there's not enough information out there about corsets and like what they actually are, which is why I wanted to do this episode and why I wrote a college essay about it. Because... corsets, they're not that bad, guys. They're great, you know? And I just think it's really disappointing. Just finishing up talking about Beauty and the Beast, I just think it's really... I just included it here at the end. It's really disappointing because so many of the costumes in the film are gorgeous, and Belle's just fall flat in comparison. And the protagonist is the one who needs to look the prettiest, you know? Obviously, there's this whole, like, in these adaptations, like, they're making the female characters a lot... stronger. I think they're like really pushing like strong independent women agendas, even though I don't think they need to, because I think the original characters are fine as they are. And I think there's definitely the argument that in order to be like a strong woman female character, you have to lose your femininity, which I think is such a shame. It's like, no, you can kick ass and still wear a pretty dress, you know? And I just think it's a real shame, and filmmakers need to do better, basically.
Not even just the filmmakers, the costume designers who like spend so much time with this, they need to inform people. Like, Emma Watson should be informed about these things. The costume designers need to do better.
Definitely. And I mean, just as we said about Bridgerton earlier, where they're coming out of it and saying in interviews that they're so uncomfortable and stuff. Why? You shouldn't be. They're not meant to be uncomfortable. No. Like, bras, in the same way that bras aren't meant to be uncomfortable. Like, and, like, if you think about bra state, if a bra gets too small and it's uncomfortable, you throw it out and you go to a shop and buy a new one. That's what they would have done with corsets. Mm-hmm. Or they would have altered them.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, we've sort of reached the end of my ramblings about all of this. But, yeah, it's a very long and complicated history. But I think it's...
You've made it very... not very simple, but you've made it easy for someone who knows nothing, me, about, like, costume and fashion history, able to understand it.
Yeah, and it's fascinating because... like, it's just one garment in history. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the influence that it had on other garments like dresses for men, mm-hmm. for men shirts and stuff, because men wore them too, remember? Like, it's fascinating how also in turn those garments influenced that, and how much of it,
yeah,
when you think about it, when you get really nitty gritty with corsets, it's like they very much like sort of influence, like, you know, the like healthy living good lifestyle you see on TikTok and YouTube today. It kind of does the same thing. The idea of shaping yeah. your body to wear certain clothes is still mm-hmm. something very present today, like in how we have shapewear and bras yeah. and everything. You know, like, these things haven't changed really. No. We've just changed sort of what our underwear looks like.
Yeah.
So that's all my notes, but do you have like any thoughts, any like questions that yeah. I might have brushed over?
I thought it was really interesting comparing it to like Greek and Roman history. Obviously, I am not a fashion historian, but it's very different in terms of how like bodies are presented. Obviously, in ancient Greece and ancient Rome, we aren't seeing bodies on display as much as we are maybe later on, and it's not really focused on the shape of your body, more like how your clothes look, which I guess is the same for the other people. But it's just strange to me that it's so different from like Tudor women and like Regency women and stuff like that.
Honestly, I think it just comes down to evolution and just the way things evolve. Like, as we said, like with the Minoan like corset, like it's very much presumed that that was like ceremonial and not like what they were wearing every day, and so I think circumstance definitely has an impact on that. Also, just thinking about like even getting into nitty-gritty of like climates of these places, like when you think about it, like more layering would have happened in places like England and France in the Tudor era. And just attitudes towards like bodies and stuff. I think all of these things are ever changing, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And it's definitely, I mean, I think what I love so much about corsets is it's something that has so many examples of throughout history. Like, it's always sort of been there in one shape or form. So it's a really nice way of looking at a timeline for fashion, if that makes sense. Because, like, even like, obviously I'm thinking to more like, take trousers for example. Trousers today are completely different to how they were like 200 odd years ago, like completely different. Like, you can't you almost can't compare them. Whereas with corsets and like laced bodice and stuff, you can track that back to, like, as we mentioned earlier, like the 1300s, and you can follow it throughout history. And I think that just makes it really interesting and really exciting to just look at all the changes and look at how they changed, what influenced the changes over the years. But yeah, that's the tight lace, the history of the corset. And I have had so much fun doing this one.
Yes, I've learned a lot. I don't know why I thought it was horizontal rather than vertical, but vertical makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I feel like that, yeah.
Horizontal sort of boning was in skirts, like crinolines.
Okay.
Like, if you like, I don't know if you've seen like sort of like hooped crinoline skirts. They have like not necessarily the same material, but similar material of boning. I think it's I want to say Ridgeline that I used in, because I recently made like a half scale crinoline, and I think we used Ridgeline. I might have to check that with my flatmates though, because I might well be wrong. And that was like horizontal, but I mean, we got into it earlier about why it was vertical, but I just feel like I've rambled on quite a lot there and gotten a bit overexcited, but I really enjoyed this episode because I just get to talk about one of my favorite things. So obviously, if you have been listening on Spotify, I definitely recommend checking us out on YouTube, because we'll have all the pictures and all the references coming up on the screen. Yes. We'll also be posting them on our socials, just so you can actually, like, I mean, I'm a visual learner. I like seeing pictures of whatever, of, like, what I'm learning about. But, yeah, this has been fun.
Yeah, I've learned a lot. I'm really interested in the fashion side of history now. I think we should do more because
Yeah. Oh,
it's interesting.
100%. 100%. I have so much we could talk about because, I mean, fashion history is where my passion is, and that's sort of what, honestly, just recording this episode, it's made me realize how passionate I am about it. Like, I always love history, and then all of a sudden, costume came along, and they sort of smushed together in a really nice way.
It is.
But
It's wonderful that you've like found that amalgamation.
yeah, but we definitely need to do some more, I think, fashion history episodes, because I want to explore like ancient fashion. I want to explore some of the Roman and Greek stuff, because I think that'd be really fun. I feel like,
I've been Googling Roman and Greek clothing for my book thing. So I was like,
yeah.
oh, I need Hannah. I need Hannah to tell me what all of this means.
Oh yeah, 100%. And obviously, I think we definitely will be having an episode on Tudor fashion, because that I know a lot about as well. But yeah, I'll leave my sources link. They'll be on our social media and in the description below. We will have images. All of that information will be accessible so that you can do further reading if you like. There are a few books that I used over the course of this episode, not just websites. I read books too.
Yay.
I use so and I will list those below as well, because there's some really, really good information out there. But yeah, I think that we've reached the end of the episode. What are we talking about next week?
I'm doing an episode on Mary the First of England. Yay! I mean, it'll be a little bit different from the other two things I've talked about, seeing as it's like 2,000 years later than my usual timeline, but I love Mary the First very, very much. So I'm excited.
I feel like this is like going to be the first episode where we're on like a semi-even playing field, because I think this is the will be the first one where I feel like we both, I think you know more, but I think we both there's more equal level of knowledge with this one. So I'm really excited for this
And it's a good
episode.
follow-up organically from the Anne Boleyn episode.
Absolutely, yeah, because there's a lot of Tudors to dive into, and next week we'll be diving into Mary the First. So yeah, stick around to watch that. We release sneak peeks, memes, if you're Maria, bloopers on all the social medias, so definitely go and check those out to find out more. But if you enjoyed this episode, please consider following, subscribing, or whatever platform you listen to us on. Maybe even dropping a like if you really liked it. It would mean the world to
Please.
us. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. We've loved talking about this, and we will see you next Wednesday. Bye!
Bye.